B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Right now.
It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Toucher and Rich.
Everything's slow.
Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour number three, Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub. No Fred, no Rich. All week, you've been stuck with me for most of the week. I'm out tomorrow. You just Wallach and Joe. We've already gotten some requests, Joe, for a food segment tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Of course.
Yes, yes.
Well, John, it's the John Wallach show.
Wallach did not sound on board with that plan whatsoever.
Of course.
Whatsoever did Wallach sound on board with that plan. No.
If it gets me free food in the morning, yeah. I mean, if someone wants to deliver, sure. And if there's anyone who can get us free food delivered, it would be that guy.
I'll tell you what. I didn't stick my nose up at it at first, but at first I said, I don't need to grab anything out of there. But I brought myself home a nice wrap that Joe Murray hooked
fantastic.
Me up with yesterday.
Yes.
Wonderful. Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Dom, from Dom Sausage.
Yeah. Thanks, Dom.
Great
thanks,
Dom.
Thanks, Dom. Yeah.
I'm happy to say it. I had a wonderful lunch. My wife was very jealous yesterday. She said, what'd you bring home here? I said, don't worry about it.
Chicken.
I said, that's mine.
Macaroni and cheese wrap with buffalo macaroni and cheese.
Get your grubby paws off it. That's mine. Don't even think about looking at it. Figure out your own lunch.
We're all great, but that buff mac and cheese, oh my God.
It was very good.
I was feeling very satisfied after that lunch, for sure. 617-779-0985. I left Paulie in the truck on hold for quite some time yesterday. He's back on hold again here today. Go ahead, Paulie.
Hey, that was my own fault, Adam, because my phone was... I have a 50-year-old
phone. Yeah, I didn't say I blame myself whatsoever. Yes, I assumed it was your fault.
No,
but
it wasn't you at all. It was my phone. I had a 15-year-old LG flip phone. I went to Boston College, and I'm the only person that went to BC you'll ever meet in your life that doesn't even know how to turn on a computer or use a smartphone.
All right.
But anyway, it's a balance of why Mac Jones is a quarterback. The last quarterback that came out as a rookie that had any sort of great success coming right out of the gate was Ben Roethlisberger, and he went to the Super Bowl with the Steelers. He played. He pooped his pants to the Super Bowl, but they were able to win the game. But they're looking at it like that. Can he handle it? And I think he's on fire enough. Where they do believe he can do that. They were hoping Cam could get us to at least the quarter pole, maybe even like a third of the way through the season, because Max only played 12 games in the SEC, including the championship game the last 2 years. He's facing a 17-game season. But then you look at, like you said, Adam, earlier, you know, it was part of my list here, the things that I got on Cam, why he's gone, the distractions that he caused. It was a quarterback number one. That was probably the last straw, the Instagram the other day. You know, the mouthing off of the Philly fans, the coach at the game, and the coaches came over to tell him to knock it off, and he kept it up.
Look, Paulie, I have no idea if that's what it was. I have no idea if that's what it was. I was just trying to surmise what might be going on with Cam, because Bert suggested, well, maybe something happened. And I said, well, something did. Yeah, I mean, he was out for 5 days. And Bert said, well, yeah, but then he was right back to being QB1 on the practice field and didn't seem like there was any... And he pushed back for that, so I suggested maybe the Instagram post. I have no idea if that was a factor or not in Cam's, not only Cam's exit, but about Bill, you know, not saying anything about Cam. Because Bert read into it the same way you did yesterday, Wallach.
Yeah.
Which is...
bizarre.
Bill's pissed. Bill's upset. Like, Cam no longer in the good graces, it seems, after being in the good graces for so long. So I was just trying to figure out what maybe happened there. His point that Roethlisberger is the last quarterback to do anything as a rookie, I mean, go on like a run to the Super Bowl... I mean, unless we're missing somebody prominent, Joe Flacco made the AFC Championship game as a rookie, I believe. You know, you're going back a long ways now. And he was terrible in that playoff run, including a game he won here right? That was the Ray Rice game that he won here.
Yes.
Where he barely even threw.
That's right. Right. Rice ran up the middle for a touchdown.
Who'd you tell me won a playoff game the other day? It was one of my non-first round quarterbacks. Was it Wilson who won a playoff game
Russell
as a rookie?
Wilson won a playoff game one as a rookie. Dak got there. I think Dallas was 13-3 in Dak's rookie year.
They were awesome.
And then Dak
him
lost.
And Zeke. They were both rookies.
And then Dak lost in the divisional round of the playoffs. So that was his first playoff game. But yes, Wilson won one.
We're just going to 2011. Dalton lost one. Luck, obviously, Griffin. So again,
Dalton was a second round guy that year, but like 35 or 30, he was one of the first picks of the second round.
But before that, if you really want to go back, Roethlisberger, Matt Ryan, Joe Flacco, Mark Sanchez.
Ryan made the playoffs?
The 0-1, yep.
Yeah, so Flacco, I believe, made the AFC championship game
and
as a rookie.
Mark Sanchez as well.
But you also, going back
to... Oh, Bert, yeah, wait, well, AFC, good call.
Going back to Bert Breer's point, I mean, Mark Sanchez is like Baker Mayfield now and whatever other quarterback you want to toss in there. He had a great running game and defense
at his
disposal. That's why Mark Sanchez got there. Well, Mark Sanchez got to the AFC championship game. Take a look at the team they built around him to make sure they got that far. His job was to turn around and hand the ball.
He came in here and beat a team that was 14-2, although that was the second year, right?
Was that him? I don't know if that was him.
He had a pretty good game that week.
Technically, the two best rookie quarterbacks to make the playoffs were Joe Flacco and Mark Sanchez. They both went 2-1.
Oh, their best run in the playoffs.
Yeah.
What about Roethlisberger?
Roethlisberger went 1-1 that year.
I see. So they had the bye week. I see. No, how did he only go 1-1 in the playoffs?
I'm looking at it right here, record 1-1.
How?
Rookie quarterbacks in the playoffs. Yeah.
Oh, because he's wrong. Oh, right, I'm an idiot, because Paulie's wrong, because Roethlisberger didn't make the Super Bowl as a rookie. He made the Super Bowl his second year.
Yeah.
Roethlisberger, as a rookie, led the Steelers to going like 15-1, and the Patriots beat them in the AFC championship game.
Yes.
Never mind. My mistake. I was not thinking that through fully. Sorry. That's how. 617-779-0985. So again, that's a person who made the AFC title game as a rookie. So who are we comparing Mac Jones to? You hear some of these names. Well, could he be Ben Roethlisberger, Joe Flacco? Could he be, you know, even some of these other quarterbacks more recently? Luck, RG3. Lamar Jackson, the quarterbacks who drafted in the first round in the last decade who made the playoffs year one. They all lost in the wild card round. Well, that's not what Teddy Bruschi's thinking. No. Teddy Bruschi's not thinking RG3 or even Lamar Jackson or Andrew Luck. No. Teddy Bruschi is thinking much higher. And in fairness, I'm not sure the question's included here. I think it is not. He's kind of led into this comparison. But Teddy Bruschi goes there yesterday on Get Up with Mike Greenberg, comparing Mac Jones to number 12.
And Mac Jones, judging by what he did in practice, preseason games, he won the job. He was the better quarterback for the team, and now he's going to start the season. He just has to go out there and do his job. Now, in terms of how it looks, you are going to see similarities to this offense of when Tom Brady ran this offense. They are turning the page on Tom Brady and then opening up the Mac Jones chapter. But Josh McDaniels, the way he's developed him, the good offensive coordinator and quarterback coach that he is, has Mac Jones ready to go. And New England fans are just ecstatic to see this. And they're going to see some similarities that they're used to seeing for the last two decades.
All right. I knew where you were going with this, but listening back to that, because I'd only heard it once until I just heard it again. And I thought the same thing you did. He's nuts. All Bruschi is saying there is...
Some similarities.
All Bruschi is saying there is the Patriots can actually run the same type of offense Tom Brady ran when he was here. Not that he was going to be as successful as Brady.
I agree. That's what Bruschi's saying. And I will acknowledge, I'm even guilty of saying that. I'm like, oh, okay, like it's going to look like a Patriots offense again. I'm not saying Tom Brady's name anymore when it comes to Mac Jones. I'm not doing that. I'm taking a personal pledge, and everyone else should as well. We chastised Mike Reese about this a little bit yesterday. We're now chastising Teddy Bruschi about it. And again, I've been guilty of it. But now that Mac Jones is the starter, I'm not doing that anymore, because I think the most important question, and we don't know the answer, but I think the most important question is, what is Mac Jones and how good is he going to be? And, you know, Bert right there just said it. He might be more in the Jared Goff, Andy Dalton, like he might be more on that spectrum of quarterback. He is not... You know, the book on him coming out of Alabama anyway is not that he is a game changer. He is maybe more than a game manager. Like, maybe that doesn't do him enough justice, but he needs the pieces around him to make it work. You can't pay him at the $40 million threshold like some of these top quarterbacks are making now, and who knows what it'll be in 4 or 5 years, because you need that cap space, you need those savings to surround him with talent. And look, Burt's point was, look at what happened when they paid Goff. They had to start stripping talent away. Look what happened when they paid Dalton. They had to stop stripping talent away. He had another name in there as well. I forget who it was. But I think that was a good point. Like, on a rookie deal where Mac Jones makes nothing, well, fine, he's making nothing, and you can get by that way. If Mac Jones isn't that type of quarterback who can carry the organization, and I'm not sure he is, that certainly wasn't the book coming out at Alabama, well, then what is he really? And do they have enough around him? Like, Aguilar? Those two tight ends, is that enough around Mac Jones? I don't know.
They've decided it's ground and pound, obviously. I mean, the strength of their team is the offensive line, and I think we can all agree the running back room is deep.
That sounds all well and good, but it's 2021. You got to be able to throw it. Well, and he can do it better than Cam Newton, but you got to be able to throw it.
They don't have the wide receivers to do it, okay? They don't have it. They don't have it. They have tight ends who on paper are slightly better than mediocre, but both are injury prone. So what they're going to do is run the football.
I would just look at this as a four or five year plan with Mac Jones. Get back on track, get your organization back in order, start to build pieces around Mac, because at some point, Brady was good enough where they could have lower talent on the football field. I think when it comes to Mac
Jones.
Yeah,
and even Brady had a line, as we found out in 2019. Even Brady had, and we found it out other seasons previous, I guess. Even Brady had a threshold and a line.
Yep.
But Brady masked a lot of it, right? Mac Jones ain't going to mask it.
But that's what I mean. Like, that second contract, I said it to you guys yesterday. If in year two, year three, they can somehow get one of these quarterbacks that are going to be out, I wouldn't, like, it might be a Tua situation. I think Mac's going to be better than Tua. I think he's got more up in his brain. Where he can, like,
so I like Tua coming out better as a prospect. Right now we have the unknown with Mac Jones because we haven't really seen him in a game, which works to his advantage. Tua didn't look great as a rookie, but you know, the reports on him out of Miami, although I guess they're still being linked to Watson, but the reports out of Miami are that he's looked pretty good.
A rough start, but he's bounced back.
But yeah, I look at it as the second year deals, right? Baker Mayfield hasn't got his yet.
The second contract.
But yes. Josh Allen is good now, right? Yep. Like, he now is the engine that makes that offense go. He's not just a part of the good running game with, you know, him and Diggs have something real going on. But look at all those guys who haven't got that second contract. I think that's what it's going to be for Mac Jones. Is he good enough to earn a second contract here? Because I don't think Belichick would pay him that
type of money. And again, and that's just instructive to what we're, if you already have some questions about whether or not what he's going to make on his second contract, that tells you, is he an elite guy? And let's just all make a pledge. Can we all just make a pledge here and now, us in the studio, everybody out there listening, Mike Reese, Teddy Bruce, can we not bring up Tom Brady's name when it comes to Mac Jones in terms of his ceiling? You're going to compare him in terms of replacing him. Of course, that's going to come up, especially week four. That's going to come up. But can we stop saying, it's going to look like the Brady offense? Let's all make a pledge to stop doing that, because it's not going to look like that.
While you're talking pledges, if you were going to put money down on the table on it, do you think he will be an elite quarterback?
Ever in his career? Define elite, like top three in the league? No.
Yeah, and I'm going to say the same thing.
Elite? No. Could be very good, but I would say not elite.
Everything we know is, and we discussed this yesterday, he will assimilate an NFL offense faster than all the other guys in the quarterback class, but he will top out at a B, maybe a B+. He'll never be an A.
And I'll be honest, I think I'd rather Garoppolo. Like, even...
Not me. Going forward?
No. Well, now that plan's over, by the way, right?
No, of course. Yeah, now that
comparing those two guys, I'd much rather have the guy we have here.
Same. He's cheap. He costs you nothing. Garoppolo, right, even on a reworked deal, you got to pay. And I know Garoppolo's flaws. We don't know the man
but
with Mac
this
Jones.
Is it. I mean, Garoppolo could be available next year. He could be available.
Well, that means
this season went horribly, because if they're going to Garoppolo next year, then they're already giving up on Mac Jones. True. That means the season went real bad.
Yes.
617-779-0985. You could jump in line, because not only are we talking fantasy football, we're talking fantasy football with an expert, Dave Richard of CBSSports.com. Going to give us his thoughts with a lot of people drafting this weekend. So you can jump in line. We'll ask our questions with drafts coming up. Fantasy football with Dave Richard next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. Sports Hub. They get you going.
That's a difficult thing to get through.
Every day.
That is 4 hours of conversation.
Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Adam Jones, John Wallach, Joe Murray in for Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub here on a Thursday. Wallach, real quick.
Yes, sir.
I was reading Mike Reese here in the last break. We've been talking a lot about Mac Jones. And Joe actually brought this up the other day. Alabama quarterbacks and their struggles in the NFL. Who is the last Alabama quarterback to win a playoff game in the NFL?
God. Oh, it's been a while.
It's not Kent Stabler. It's not Joe Namath. It's not.
I was going to say Namath.
But... not Bart Starr. It is Richard Todd.
Wow.
For the Jets in 1982.
How about that?
Since his retirement in 85, there have been 35 seasons of Alabama quarterbacks. They have thrown 35 they're 35 seasons in the NFL, rather.
Okay.
There have been 35 touchdowns by Alabama quarterbacks since then.
So you got the three quarterbacks in the one room in 2018. You have Tua, you have Hurts, and you have Mac Jones.
Yep.
Which one of those three, and I think it's going to happen within the next 2 years, wins the first playoff game?
Ooh. I like Jalen Hurts the best because I'm kind of a fantasy football guy, which is also our next guest here, Dave Richards, senior fantasy writer for CBSSports.com. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Dave, we don't need to dive in too far on Jalen Hurts and the Alabama quarterbacks here. I am curious, though, when it comes to the fantasy draft, because a lot of people get to who you taking number one, who you taking in the top five. I'm curious where you start looking at the value in a wide receiver in the first round, and you get into or get out of, I guess, the mindset and the mode of, well, it's the first round, I have to take the best running back available. Where are you looking at the wide receivers in the first round, and who are you looking at?
It's a great question, Adam. I get it all the time. Usually I'm willing to take a running back with one of my first eight picks in the PPR league. And if catches do not count, I'm taking a running back in round one. I don't care where that first pick is. I think about the running backs that are going to be available in rounds five through eight. And we're talking about guys like Mike Davis or Melvin Gordon, Chase Edmonds. I'm not a big fan of Josh Jacobs or Miles Sanders this year. I'm kind of passing on them. And I don't like a lot of those guys. I don't want to have to start those guys. I want to load up on the running back position early. There's going to be guys who are the haves and the have-nots in fantasy leagues, and I want to be the haves. I want to be the fantasy manager that's got a couple of running backs on my roster that I know I can go to battle with every single week. Don't have to worry about matchups. Don't have to worry about timeshares. I just have some studs. So really, I would have to have a back end of round one pick in a PPR league to even consider somebody like Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. I know Kelce's going earlier than that. In most leagues, I wouldn't take them there, even though there is a good positional advantage with tight ends. I'm looking for running backs.
All right. Speaking of running backs, what is your strategy, say, among your first four or five picks? Because running backs are at such a premium, and unlike wide receivers, there's a significant drop-off after a while there. How many running backs are you taking out of your first four or five picks?
I'm trying to get at least three with my first five picks. So two of my first three, three of my first five, that's really the direction that I want to go in so I can feel good about my running back core. And a part of the reason why it's like that is because I know I'm going to be able to find good wide receivers, not just with one or two of those picks in the first five, but also when you get to round six, seven, eight, there's going to be some names there that you won't mind having on your fantasy team and you won't mind starting on your fantasy team. One of those names is Jerry Jeudy. I'm a humongous fan of Jerry Jeudy. I can get him in round six, but I've got him ranked as a top 55 overall player. One of those Bengals receivers would be great to have. Adam Thielen's value has popped. Robbie Anderson's good. I could go on. There's a bunch of other rookie receivers. I could go on. There's a lot of receivers that you can draft in that middle round range. You'd say, okay, cool, I can start this guy week one. You can't do that at running back. There's not going to be enough there. So that's where I'm at with running backs. I know it's kind of old school, and I know that running backs break down all the time, but I want to have a chance of getting one of those running backs who can give me 1,500-plus total yards, 12-plus total touchdowns. It would be nice if they could also give me 50-plus receptions. That's usually the stuff that makes a great fantasy running back, a guy that can give me 20 PPR points a week.
Okay, so what has you shying away from the Miles Sanderses and the Josh Jacobs of the world? Like, what are your red flags for drafters who are looking to kind of pick and choose those second tier running backs, which I think does become more tricky, second and third tier running backs, which does become more tricky? What are some red flags that has you marking those two specifically down?
actions speak louder than words in the NFL, and the actions that both the Eagles and the Raiders took this year suggest that those coaching staffs are not sold on their running backs being feature backs, workhorse backs, guys that are going to get 20 touches a week. You saw the Raiders bring in Kenyon Drake to work in tandem with Josh Jacobs. And I know that Drake, like, he was actually good for fantasy. What matters in fantasy are the numbers, not how you look doing it. And he had a bunch of touchdowns last year, 10 touchdowns on the ground, a good physical north-south runner is what he's morphed into. But in his past, he's also been a good pass catcher out of the backfield. So I would imagine that he's going to take a big chunk of work away from Josh Jacobs, who's never really been the passing downs guy for the Raiders. He averages like 3 targets per game, something like that. Doesn't really do a lot through the air. But those short yardage touchdowns could also end up going to Kenyon Drake, and that absolutely neuters the value of Josh Jacobs. And then in Philadelphia, Miles Sanders has been a nightmare catching the ball out of the backfield himself. They've got Boston Scott, who's a good running back. They drafted Kenneth Gainwell. He could be a passing downs back. He's looked okay with the ball in his hands this preseason. I think Miles Sanders is going to be part of the committee now. And you've got Jalen Hurts, a quarterback, and one of the reasons why you're cool with Jalen Hurts as your quarterback, Adam, is because he will run.
Oh, yeah.
He was on pace for over 1,000 rushing yards last year based on the small sample size that he had. He's going to continue to run. He'll be somebody who factors in for a bunch of rushing touchdowns. That takes numbers away from Sanders. And he's also going to be somebody who I think the Eagles are going to trust throwing the football, short mid-range passes downfield, not dumping off to the running backs. So I'm worried about Miles Sanders finishing as like a top 15 running back. Same thing with Josh Jacobs. I think a lot of fantasy managers see those names. They know the hype around them because we've talked them up before in the past. The smart fantasy managers will wait to get those guys at a value that's almost unfathomable. It's got to be round 4 at the absolute earliest for either one of them. And if you don't like them, then you almost would rather either take them in round 6 or let someone else take them in your league.
The question every year, Dave, is how long do you wait to take a quarterback? And in theory, you want to wait till round 4 or 5, and there are plenty of quarterbacks to go around. But you and I both know that someone takes Patrick Mahomes, you know, 14, 15 overall, and then someone's like, well, Mahomes is gone. I'm going to take Josh Allen. And all of a sudden, there's a run on quarterbacks, and you can't wait anymore.
Well, unless you're in a league that starts 2 quarterbacks, you should absolutely take your foot off the gas when it comes to taking the position, especially early on. I'm checking our ADP right now. Mahomes' ADP on CBS is 11.6. So he's a first-round pick, and Josh Allen is at 17.6. He's a second-round pick. You're right, Wallach. They're taking them way too early. I'm looking for value at the quarterback position. I definitely don't want to reach for a quarterback, but I don't mind getting a fair value on Kyler Murray. And I'm talking at the absolute earliest, late round 4, but probably more like round 5 for Kyler Murray or Lamar Jackson or Dak Prescott. I don't want to just say, well, I'm going to wait and take Matthew Stafford in round 10, because I think if you get those other 3 quarterbacks that I mentioned at a good value and throw Russell Wilson in there too in round 6, that would be amazing. I think you're going to be happy with the results. Obviously, those are great players that put up good fantasy points, and they've got tons of upside. That's the name of the game. You just want to do it at a value that just makes sense and helps your team win. Case in point, I was in an analyst draft yesterday. I got Dak Prescott in round 7. I had to do a Google search before I drafted him just to make sure he wasn't hit by a bus. Like, why was he waiting that long? And there was an earlier analyst
It's injuries, right? I mean, people are a little afraid of him coming back from now. Not only the horrific injury last year, but what he's dealing with his throwing arm this year.
Sure, but even if you see Dak Prescott in round 5, you can say, all right, well, there is a chance of a recurring injury, and we've already seen it in the preseason. But, man, he was putting up ridiculous fantasy. He averaged almost 30 points per game last year when he was playing. I've got to take a chance on that. In round 5, it's a good idea. In round 7, it's a freaking no-brainer to do it. So I was thrilled to get him at that point, and that's what you have to look for in your drafts is you either wait on the quarterback and get a good value on, like I said, Stafford or Jalen Hurts. People are hesitant to draft Jalen Hurts. I'm not. I like him. I think he's got a chance to have a good year. You'll wait on those types of guys, but if you do get yourself a good value, you find one in rounds 5 or 6, jump on it.
Okay, so obviously, you know, it varies draft to draft and league to league, and I hear what you're saying. You know, if Prescott's there in round 7, you didn't anticipate it, there's more value there for sure. I know a lot of analysts bristle at, like, the sleepers question, because that implies, you know, late and dart throws, and again, all leagues are different. So who outside of, you mentioned Judy earlier, Jerry Judy is a guy you like at his ADP, you think there's value there. Like, who are some other players you look at and say, wow, these guys are underappreciated and guys that I am targeting?
Well, let's just start right there in New England with Jacoby Myers. And in PPR leagues, I think he's got a chance to get close to 85 receptions
over the year.
That's
Wallach's guy. Wallach got him in the draft yesterday.
I overdrafted him. Yep, I got him.
Where did you get him, Wallach?
Homer Wallach.
He was the third wide receiver I took, round 7, round 6, something like that.
Oh, boy.
Now, don't – you sounded like there was shame in your voice for doing that. And I'm here to tell you that I stand with you on Jacoby Myers being with a round 7 pick in PPR.
Sounds early
Hold
to me.
Hold your head up high. You did the right thing. I think he's going to be outstanding. And I think the move to Mac Jones really helps him out. He had a 20% target share from Cam last year, and that was when the Patriots were barely throwing the football, and Cam Newton wasn't exactly on target with his throws. That target share could go up with Mac Jones, and you know the Patriots are going to throw more.
You hear that,
so
Jones?
I really like that pick.
Yeah. Genius. That's what this is. Genius.
You are a genius,
Damn
Wallach.
Right I am.
I will tell Fred and Rich that next time I talk to them, just to make sure that they know.
Appreciate it.
New Orleans. Marquez Callaway, his ADP is around round 10, early round 10. Here's a receiver that you can draft in round 9, maybe even round 8, and he's going to start for you in week 1. He's looked outstanding in New Orleans, and the quarterback there is Jameis Winston. He's a good passer for Callaway because he likes to throw downfield. He's not a check down Charlie. That's going to help him out a lot. Marvin Jones is another guy in Jacksonville. I saw in the preseason that his timing was down perfectly with Trevor Lawrence, and I think Jacksonville's going to throw the ball a decent amount. He's another round 10 guy. Everybody's kind of shy to take Marvin Jones because he's 31 years old, and you know he's kind of boom or bust. But I think he'll be okay this year, and I don't mind taking him with that type of round 10 pick. And then keep an eye out on Paris Campbell in Indianapolis. We know that T.Y. Hilton's on the shelf. We don't know when he'll come back. Michael Pittman's a good outside receiver, but they're going to need somebody in the middle of the field to take pressure off of Carson Wentz when he needs to get rid of the football, especially with the left tackle position being a problem. Paris Campbell's been beat up for the past couple of years. He's healthy now. He still has his speed and his quickness. He's got good hands. He can make plays after the catch. He's going to be available. I'm trying to find him on our ADP right now. He is at, oh man, he's not even listed on our ADP, which means he's going after 150th overall. Ooh. That's a steal on draft day.
All right. He is Dave Richards, senior fantasy writer, CBSSports.com. He joined us here on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Dave, thanks so much. We appreciate the time.
Thanks, Dave.
You got it, guys. Good luck in your drafts this weekend.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Wallach is really on cloud 9 right now.
Yeah.
You know, Fred, he's peacocking around. Dave is now going to tell Fred and Rich next time that you're a genius, he said, right? Is that what I heard?
No, I called myself a genius, and then he agreed with me.
He did agree. Which, if you're a genius, I hate to think what he'd think I was after my my victory tour yesterday.
And Wallach goes to the big chair tomorrow.
That's right.
Oh, that's true. Wallach goes to the big chair. All right, so he's getting a bit of a big head, isn't
getting
he, Joe?
A little swinging it.
Wallach's getting a bit of a big head, peacocking around.
I do.
He's calling himself a genius. Calling himself a genius. I would never. Calling himself a genius and moving over to the big chair. What do you say we take him down a few pegs?
I think we should do that.
Take Wallach down a notch or two, shall we? Wallach had a draft yesterday. Mike Lockhart's Fantasy League, fantasy expert here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. Such luminaries in the league as one Fred Tutcher.
Oh.
Dan Roach, I believe.
Yes,
I heard.
I think that's right. Yes.
So how?
Where was our invites?
I'm not running. Talk to the man over there. I have nothing to do with it.
Oh,
I was invited. I said yes.
Got real uncomfortable here. Real
I had
quick.
Nothing to do with it. I'm stepping out here.
See, the best part about me is you're just going to take my money. It's like, you want me in your league? Here's my money.
Let's take Wallach down a few pegs, shall
we?
Let's grade John Wallach's fantasy draft coming up right after the update here from Joe.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub. They've got the insiders.
Jeffy, hello, sir.
Insiders.
Maybe you know something. I doubt it.
No, I don't know anything.
Tutcher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
.8:41 here on The Sports Hub. Adam Jones, John Wallach, and Joe Murray. Taking you up until 10 a.m. on a Thursday morning. I saw the Pardon My Take guys. Big Cat, PFT commenter. I guess they've been doing this for a while. They ambush Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk and they get him talking about his fantasy football team, and then they go, nobody cares about your fantasy football team. They did it yesterday. They had Field Yates ambush him. They set up like a whole Zoom call. Field Yates did like a whole interview with Florio. And then at the end, the Pardon My Take guys jumped in and said, F you, nobody cares about your football team, blah, blah, blah.
How does Florio take that?
He started cursing them out. It was very funny. He started cursing them out, calling them MFers. It was actually pretty amusing.
Yeah.
Here's my roundabout point, though. I'm not one of those guys who says I don't care about your fantasy football team. I actually do. I like hearing about other people's fantasy football team. I like to hear what's going on, mostly so I can apply it for my own logic. But I like hearing about other people's fantasy drafts. So I said, Wallach, you had a big draft yesterday.
We did. I thought it was Michael Lockhart League. Yes.
I thought it was a big night out. It wasn't. You said the draft went by in like an hour.
Yes.
Okay. Correct. Well, let's see how you did with some of these picks. Lockhart has supplied me with a rundown, pick by pick, of John Wallach's draft last night. You had the number two pick in the draft, Wallach, and you took Derrick Henry.
Yeah, tough debate there.
The big dog, number two overall.
Cook or Henry? I chose Henry. I like Henry better.
You know what I say to that?
You've been waiting all week to hit that button.
I say that's I'm a thumbs down on that pick. Not that I think like it's outrageous, but just that is not who I would have taken to. I would have taken Dalvin Cook.
I know. You know, it's interesting. I heard on the podcast, I know the Fantasy Football Show.
Oh, yes.
I had their first episode last week. You took part in the mock draft like I did.
Were you the one who took Henry 2 overall in the mock draft? Because I was surprised Cook was sitting there for me at 3.
Well,
I said that. I said that.
I had the number 1 overall pick in that.
That one's a no-brainer.
It's a layup. Yeah. But I don't know who it was before you took Derrick Henry, and you went on and on about how you're a big Dalvin Cook guy.
Tracy Clements, apparently, as well.
Okay,
as
so yes. Tracy Clements took Henry too, and you're, I'm a big Dalvin Cook guy. Yep. But, you know, full disclosure, the last time I was a big Dalvin Cook guy was when he was a rookie and he got hurt. And
I was very high on Dalvin Cook as a rookie, and he got hurt.
And
yes.
that's the thing. The Jones jinx
is alive and well.
Dalvin Cook gets hurt more than Henry does.
If I could throw more of a Jones curse, now that Julio Jones is on the Titans, he might get more looks and less reps.
You see, that's the thing. Henry. Julio Jones, if you look back at it, I mean, he's 32 now.
Doesn't
he's
matter. They're going to throw him the ball, he's going to get less carries.
I don't think that's true.
He's going to get less carries.
I don't think he's going to get a lot of carries. Catches, you mean?
No, I'm talking about Henry. He's going to get less carries.
Oh, I see. I understand.
Nah, Derrick Henry, solid
pick. Trying to take Wallach down.
All right.
Solid.
That was 0 for 1 there, Wallach. Second round, Justin Jefferson.
Count it.
I like that one.
I like that one too.
Nice, solid pick.
He was sitting there at the end of the second round. You know, you gotta take a guy like that.
I like Justin Jefferson there with your second pick. You came back around with the second pick.
Sophomore slump, by the way.
Oh my! Why is that? He was very productive in only 14 games last year. Justin Jefferson.
Sophomore slump.
Sophomore. It's nothing just more than that. Just nothing more than just a sophomore slump.
Take it down.
I know.
He's doing his best.
Nothing else.
He's saying my picks suck regardless.
Well,
that is his strategy.
This next one I did not love. David Montgomery at 26.
Like the running back there.
Yeah.
Like the running back.
Yeah, so
wide receivers are deep. I figured I could come back and get another one later, so I got the best running back on the board.
I am also out, Joe. They have Tariq Cohen out. I believe he's on PUP. But they brought in Damian Williams. I think that's going to – a lot of the value in David Montgomery last year was passing game work. I don't think he's going to get as much passing game work this next season. We get into a couple of picks that I like back-to-back here for Wallach. Robert Woods.
Count it.
Oh, yep. I like that one. And that's I also like Kyler Murray.
Count it.
47 and 50 back-to-back there in rounds 4 and 5.
Dave Richards was just saying good value for Murray is end of fourth, beginning of fifth. There you have it. Beginning of the fifth round, I wound up with Kyler Murray.
Now, how many quarterbacks went out before Kyler Murray?
Two or three.
Okay, so it was probably Mahomes and Allen.
Mahomes, Allen, and one more that I can't remember. But I think Kyler Murray was sitting there.
Okay.
Yes.
I got to be honest, not a lot to nitpick with those two picks. I did not like Chase Edmonds at 71. I feel like you're chasing running backs here, Wallach. Yeah. You're chasing a running back in the third round. Sitting there with Derrick Henry. Chasing a running back in the third round. Chasing him again in the sixth round.
Absolutely.
I don't love it.
I chased it. No, I chased the running back there again, knowing that there would be wide receivers for me to get later. Yes, I chased the running back. Figured it was too soon to take a tight end. I had my quarterback. I needed the best running back because after Chase Edmonds, there was a massive drop-off. I didn't want to get stuck there.
Now, what is the format of this league? You're starting how many backs? Two?
Two backs, three receivers.
Two backs, three receivers, flex, and a flex?
A flex, yeah. A tight end, a quarterback, defense, special teams.
Okay.
Defense kicker.
All right, so here is the tight end for Wallach, Noah Fant.
Count it.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater likes to throw close to the line of scrimmage. This is a thumbs down back there. What is that? Oh, Lockhart's a big thumbs down on that.
Didn't like Fant. It was either Fant or Tonyan. I wound up with Fant. I liked Fant better because they split him out. They threw the ball to him.
You know who I think ended up with Tonyan?
Oh, Mike.
I think Lockhart. You dropped it right into Lockhart's lap there.
No, that's true. That's exactly what happened. Yep. Ooh. So I went with Fant.
Could wind up kicking yourself over that one.
Could be.
I'll tell you what. I can't believe Dave Richard likes Jacoby Myers. In the eighth round. Like,
love
please.
Jacoby Myers.
I like him, too. Eighth round?
Yes. Going to get the ball a ton this year.
You're starting him every week, by the way. If you're starting three receivers and a flex, you're starting. That's a starter every week.
He doesn't score touchdowns.
At pick 95.
Well, I got to be honest with you. I got Myers maybe too soon, but the wide receivers I got later are start worthy.
Are they? Because I don't like Devontae Smith either. I don't like Devontae Smith either.
Top receiver on the team.
Watch him in the Patriots game? He dropped everything under the sun. He wasn't like quite Jamar Chase in Cincinnati. He dropped everything.
But it was like his first game. You wait until he gets to week three, week four of the season. He's going to be fine.
I don't like that pick.
This is a very deep team. You're overlooking a lot.
You're a little bear. Now, here we go. I think you got some actual running back value in the 10th round. Excuse me. That was a little premature there, as I've been wont to do. Devin Singletary.
Count it.
Ah, there we are, Wallach. Devin Singletary I like very much in the 10th round. Not that I expect big things out of him, but I think he's the more valuable of the two Bills backs.
Everybody
likes Zach Moss. Singletary is the passing game guy.
Might get the ball out of
Singletary,
the
great, great in the passing game.
Josh Allen is their goal line back in Buffalo.
I'll take away from him as well.
Singletary is the passing game back. Again, I don't want to be starting Singletary a bunch, but if I got to do it in a pinch, fine. We can breeze through these last couple of picks. Wallach, I did like Will Fuller in the 11th.
Count it.
I thought that was a nice pick. I did not like Kirk Cousins. Not a fan. You're going to find out. Vax status. Wallach is very much taking a page out of the Patriots playbook with this. Does not care about the vaccination status here on his fantasy.
Hold on before you move on. There's an insight to this because I didn't know it at the time, but Fred Tutcher was drafting right behind me and right ahead of me.
Sure.
So it was coming back. Fred was drafting right ahead of me. He took the quarterback I wanted right there, which was Trey Lance. Trey Lance was sitting there, and he took him right before I was going to take him.
So you panicked and just took the
next
quarterback?
No, I didn't panic. Cousins was the next guy up for me.
Sounds like you
panicked.
Starting
quarterback with a lot of options.
Sounds like you panicked. You got Harrison Butker in the 13th round. How do we feel about that? Taking a quarterback, or a kicker, rather, before the last pick? What are we doing?
Round 13, top kicker on the board.
Amateur hour.
And you know what?
Amateur hour.
The best part about it was after I took him, I started the kicker run. Everyone's like, oh, my God, I need one. There were like five that went off the board right after I took him.
Amateur hour. Yeah. I do like Indy in the 14th round.
Count it.
Whatever. I can't say you got to take a defense and a kicker in the last round. You got to take one in the 14th, fine. Yeah. And I also like Cole Beasley.
Count it.
In the 15th round.
Last
I like
guy.
That as well. But again, vaccines, not important to you at all. Not at all with Cousins and Beasley.
I got two guys there that really could hurt me later. But Beasley right there. That's a start worthy tight. That's a start worthy wide receiver.
All right. So overall, I actually liked, and I don't want to admit this. I actually liked more picks than I did not like.
Count it
for John Wallach. I actually did. I liked 8 of your picks. I did not like 7 of your picks.
All right.
So what do we apply? 8 out of 15. What do we apply there for a grade? C plus.
I give him a C plus.
Yeah.
Count it.
C plus. That's pretty good.
I'll take it.
That's not that bad. Above average.
I mean, he feels like a B.
Can we get an official grade back there from Mike Lockhart?
I think it was a C. Somewhere in the C range.
Oh, it was in the C range.
All right.
I thought Lockhart came in this morning saying he was kind of
John. I'm sorry. Mike said it'll give him a B, but I think was it through Yahoo they gave him a C?
Yeah, that's true.
The official Yahoo grade was.
Yahoo gave me a C.
So I was even a soft grader. If Yahoo gave you a C, I gave you a C plus.
But Mike seems to like it, and he's the expert on the show. So I'm going to take Mike's point of view on this one.
I just all I wanted to do was bring Wallach down just a little bit, just a hair. So we did our best there grading John Wallach's fantasy draft. I do care about your fantasy team, Wallach. I care about everybody's fantasy team. 617-779-0985. We'll continue with all your feedback here. And we do have to get to the saga in high school football that has made national headlines. Bishop Sycamore, if you're not familiar, we'll explain next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
They get you going.
In fairness, we have to make up for not watching the game.
Every day.
I might watch a baking show.
Toucher and Rich.
What do you expect me to do? Watch every basketball game?
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're coming up on 9 o'clock, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Jones, Wallach, Murray, in for Toucher and Rich. I have, for a couple of days, wanted to discuss this Bishop Sycamore story. Lockhart sent it to us mid-show on, I want to say Tuesday. I didn't see it until after we signed off, but right after we got off the air, Dan mentioned, hey, did you see the story Mike sent? And Mike was filling in the gaps, and even Beetle overheard us talking about it. Beetle's like, oh my God, that story's awesome. And so we were thinking about getting to it yesterday, and obviously after we left on Tuesday, all hell broke loose with Cam being out. And so if you're unfamiliar with the story, I'll fill in some gaps here. Bishop Sycamore is supposedly a high school team. They're really not. They got blown out 58-0 on ESPN by IMG Academy, a powerhouse school down in Florida. Bishop Sycamore has been accused of lying about having Division I prospects and falsifying their roster, which included 19 and 20-year-olds, kids who are almost definitely in junior college.
Did you see the highlight of their quarterback running around?
Oh, yeah.
He's 265 if he's a pound.
So Bishop Sycamore claims to be an online-only charter school based out of Columbus, but the Ohio Department of Education lists no charter school by that name. The team has not won a game since launching in 2019, while getting outscored 342-49. They've likely played their last game because they've now fired their head coach. They've also canceled their final four games that had been scheduled. They literally put out a tweet yesterday that said, hey, if anybody wants to play us on October 8th, our week 8 game, DM us. They literally were asking for DMs to play. The team's director denies the program is a scam. And again, they were on this showcase on ESPN. Okay, so it's this big scandal. Obviously, you know, the school is a sham and the whole program there is a sham. I think at least what people are missing, at least in the commentary I've heard, is the blame for ESPN. Like, ESPN, did you do no research on this? And I know they've blamed, there's like another group, the Marquee Group or something like that, I forget their name, that I guess secures a lot of these matchups for high school football for ESPN. Did you not vet anything? Like, there were players on the team who were like, being recruited by all these big schools, and all of a sudden, mid-game, ESPN was like, we can't verify that. The broadcasters had to come on mid-game while they were getting blown out. They're like, something's wrong here. Mid-game, they were like, we can't verify that. Why'd you wait till the middle of the game to try to verify it?
It's so weird. I was watching St. Francis versus Aquinas, and all of a sudden they dropped into that game. I know, but it was the only thing on Sunday afternoon.
Yep.
And I was watching.
Did you bet it?
No.
You had no money on it?
No. But I caught it. I'm like, what the hell's going on here?
ESPN's at fault for this. I don't care who secured the matchup for them. You have to do your own research. And again, obviously the school's a sham and the coach is a dirtbag. And like, you know, they're bringing in JUCO players to play against high school teams. And they're just...
Where was the supposed school located?
Ohio. Columbus, Ohio, I believe. Right. And so...
A guy out of prison then went and played for them.
Correct.
Not a kid.
A man. And this coach is like just taking money. Like literally, it's just a money-making scheme for him. Where he's like... Stiffing bus companies, stiffing hotels, and he's just pocketing the money. I mean, complete dirtbag. But who's at fault for this thing seeing the light of day? ESPN! How would anybody blame anyone else? All right, fine, it's a sham of a school. They started in 2019 with no college prospects, and you're going to put them on television against IMG, and you decided to do zero research on your own? That's ESPN's fault. Like, I don't get how anybody is blaming anyone else.
And years back, I don't know if you remember, but there was a fake school, Christian of Faith. If you remember them, they made a whole program up.
Yeah, is this everything. Where the coach was previously? Yeah. Okay, so I was going to say, so I knew he was at another stuff, fake school.
There it is.
It's not even the first time. And there are a bunch of schools like this. What's the one in Nevada? It's Finley Prep. That's like a massive, like, actual...
Finley,
actual powerhouse.
It's a basketball factory.
Yeah, but it's just a place where basketball prospects go. It's like one of these fake schools.
Yes.
Yeah. But it actually has, like, some... It actually gets real prospects. And it actually has some sort of curriculum. I don't know how rigorous it is. But it's really just a stepping stone for kids to go there and then go to a big-time college program.
That program's been shut down, by the way.
Finley? Okay, so I didn't even know that. So again, but Finley, I know, is another one that was like very seedy and very looked down on in the college basketball world, which is... That's a tough place to be looked down on. Everybody's seedy. The underbelly of sports, college basketball, to be looked down on in that world, that's a tough place. But this place takes it like a step further, 10 steps further. But no. I blame ESPN completely for that. Did you do zero research?
I'm looking. Just since we started talking about Finley Prep, founded in 2006 by Cliff Finley. Yeah, a UNLV booster.
Yep.
Avery Bradley was one of the guys
who
went there.
I thought the Celtics had a player who was there. I couldn't remember who it was.
Tristan Thompson, Corey Joseph.
Also a couple.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Anthony Bennett.
Sounds like they're recruiting a lot of Canadians in there because those last three guys were all Canadian.
That's correct.
So maybe that's what they're doing. 617-779-0985. Anyway, there's the saga on Bishop Sycamore. If you're unfamiliar with that school and that saga over the last 48 hours, there's certainly been a saga related to the New England Patriots, Cam Newton's COVID mix-up, and also the Boston Red Sox. Players are dropping like flies day after day after day. And I have a simple question. How are professional sports teams going through this in Boston, of all places? Let's get to that right after the update here from Joe.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.